by spirituality more than anything else. That's why we need the music so much. The music plays upon the strings of our spiritual makeup. See, the church, with its message, it feeds the spirit, but also music. These things that drop. Oh, yes. And most of us, in spite of the detachment, in spite of the separation from the church or from the religious life, most of us are still a people who are dominated by spirituality more than anything else. That's why we need the music so much. The music plays upon the strings of our spiritual makeup. See, the church, with its message, it feeds the spirit, but also music. These things that drum up emotional feelings, they all cater to the spiritual needs. So don't think you are not spiritual anymore because you're not going to church. We are going to the disco. We are going to the blowout. I don't know what they call these things now. So I just call it a blowout. I used to keep up with it. I wasn't crazy, but I kept up with it. That was when I was younger years. But now I don't even know the name for these affairs. Parties. You remember one they called Stumping at the Savoy? Stumping at the Savoy. And that dance was really crazy. They were stumping and going wild. Real wild, way out. Well, nothing like what we have seen here lately. These extremes, more than I've seen in my life. Oh, yeah. Anyway, what I'm pointing out to you is this, is that no matter what kind of appetite you have, you are not living in any mold but a spiritual mold. The African-American people on the whole are not living in any mold but a spiritual mold. They don't live in a social mold. They don't live in a material mold. They live in a spiritual mold. And that's why most of their 3 hours is spent in good time. Because they're in a spiritual mold. Same essence, the same substance that the church fed is now being fed by entertainment and all the other fancy habits you have. You're still in the spiritual mold. Now, Allah doesn't want us in the spiritual mold. That's why Jonah had to come back from the sea and get on land. God doesn't want us in the spiritual mold. We're supposed to have spiritual orientation. We're supposed to have spiritual conviction. But we are not supposed to live in a spiritual mold. The protection for the life is taqwa, a spiritual orientation. But the life form itself is community. Allah made us to live in a community, not on a boat, but a community on earth, community on land. Are you following? We are the ummah of al-Islam. We can't live in a boat. That boat, that spiritual mold, or that spiritual orientation that saves you in times of spiritual trouble, is temporarily. It's temporary. Noah wasn't told to build a boat forever. He was told to build a boat for a situation. And as soon as the situation changed, And the waters became normal again, the situation got normal again, Noah got off that boat and came back to land. Land is the home of man, not the sea. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But we as a people, we live on a than that. We don't have the boat. The church was the boat. We live out at sea. And most of us don't have life rafts. What do they call this round thing? Life savers. Most of us out there just battling the water. Occasionally going down from exhaustion. Boom. A lot of us drowning. In disco spirit. And the blowout spirit. And tripping and etc. Right? Going down for the count. Dear beloved people, I repeat, most of us, the African-American people, we live in a spiritual mold. We have to understand that we have to live in all quarters of life. We have to live in a house. A house has four corners. Maybe have many, but the smallest house will have four corners. One room, right? Unless it's built on a triangle, and we know that's a little odd. So most homes will have at least four corners like the Kaaba. And we are to live in every quarter of the house. We have to have the spiritual base. We have to have also social base. We have to have material base. And we have to have production. Production. And production must be led. You can't do production with everybody being the boss. Production has to have leadership. So we have to have a political base. Now, I'm not talking about political base in the sense of our Constitution. I'm talking about political base in the sense of organizing and directing the activities of life for a community. Somebody has to be leader. And we have to accept that life. That we have to have a leader, we have to have political authority in our life. Don't you know most nationalities, they have political authority in their nationality? They vote as a people, and they train people for positions and influence in the political arena. They are working constantly to maintain a political leverage for their people. And not just as voters, but as power holders. They will put a man in office. Not with a vote at the ballot box, but also with money. Oh, can't you see Job? Can't you see Job? Living in this spiritual mold, but don't have an established life on land. Oh, yes. Now, the worst thing we can do is to break faith with God. Job held faith with God. He kept faith with God. And God rewarded that with growth and material blessings. All right? We are contained now in this material, spiritual mode. While we're in the spiritual mode, what are we doing? Just dissipating our material earnings. Right? Now, you may say, oh, we're materialistic then, ma'am, not spiritual. No, you're spiritual. You're not materialistic. If you were materialistic, you would have some material substance. The devil is materialistic. He has material substance. You're not materialistic. You're spiritual. You go out and you just want some money. You want money so bad, you work two jobs. But look, what you do with that money, tell us, what you are. Now, if you take that money and spend it on a big old car that makes you no money, and it costs $14,000 or $20,000, and this car makes you no money, so what did you spend that for? For spirit? You had a good spirit driving that car. Now, if you make that money, you suffer and work hard and make that money, and you take that money and you come back and you win you some pretty women over to your side that you can date. And you go out dating with these pretty women. And you enjoy them. You're having a good time with these pretty women. What have you spent this money on? Are these women making you any money? Okay, you spent it on spirits. You go to the party on the weekend and you blow half the check. Did that make you any money? No, you spent that money on spirits. You were feeling good. Can't you see that the African-American lives in a spiritual mold? And all of his substance goes on his spiritual life, on spirituality. All of his substance is spent on spirituality. What is he investing to make his family stronger? Is he investing in a business that will be named Jake and Sons? No. What is he investing for the future of his family? Nothing. That's the reason why most of the homes are broken up. Because nobody lives there anyway. Everybody is living in a spiritual mode. The home is a social mode. You're not living in a social mode. You don't spend life to build up the strength of the social unit. You don't spend money to build up the strength of the social unit. You spend money for spirit, for good times, to feel good. Now, isn't that the fact? All right, so don't be narrow in your vision. Don't be narrow in your understanding. So narrow until every time you read of some symbol in the Bible in a situation, because it's spiritual, you think he belonged to a church. If you belong to a church, your spirit's supposed to be good. Your spiritual situation should be good. Joe wasn't sitting in no church. Joe was sitting out on the wayside in the dust. The dust is symbolic of, well, you heard the expression stardust. Stardust. Stardust means because you're so far from the material basis, your glory has no solidness, has no, what you call it, has no cohesiveness, has no solidness, has no substance. Your glory is dust. And dust, you know, dust, what is dust? Dust is the breakdown of solid mass. That's what dust is. Dust is the breakdown of solid mass. And Job once was a solid mass. He had wealth. But because of him giving his life to spiritual influences and didn't have his life in a mold other than spiritual influences, out carefree in the air, of spirituality, of feeling, etc. Because his life was like that, he lost that solidness. He lost that cohesiveness that would be provided by if he had been contained in a social mold, in a material mold, in a political mold, in a mold of enlightenment, learning. Because that's where you learn. You learn from social environment. You learn from spiritual environment. You learn from political aspirations, from material aspirations. That's what causes the process of learning. If you simply give your life to spiritual influences, you have no contact with the reality that enables the intellect to come on and grow. Do you understand? Now, this is the situation of the African-American people. This is our situation. Now, Job, he sits down in the dust. Dust material that has lost its unity, lost its cohesiveness, have broken up into little small particles. Wind, the little wind that's just a breeze that used to couldn't move it at all when it was solid, blows the dust. There's the dust. Rainstorm come up, a heavy wind come up, pick the dust up off the ground. Take the dust in the air, carries the dust miles and miles away. It might carry it a whole town, our whole country away. Isn't that you? Isn't that us? Because of our life being contained in the spirituality, the little material substance we have is the material substance of the poor. Thus, it has no ground, has no base, no root. It's not established anywhere. We don't establish it at home with mama. We don't establish it at home with wife. We don't establish it in the neighborhood. We don't establish it with the race. It's dust in the air. The wind blows it out of our house, away from our yard, and blows it into the stranger's yard. Now the stranger got the dust of our material substance. May blow it way across the water into another country. They got the substance of our material wealth, which is nothing, just dust. Poor people's money, right? I'm talking about the material. Now, developed people, because of this situation, we don't have a stable community life. But in terms of residency, in Chicago, we move around Chicago, back and forth through Chicago, like desert Arabs called in the Quran El Arab. See, they're not Arabs. They're not Arab. They are Arab. See, Arab, Ain, Re, Be, Arab, Alif, Ain, Sukun, Ra, Re, Alif, Be, Arab, and they are the ones who just roam from oasis to oasis. They suck on this hole until it goes dry, then they go hunting for another one. And they live in the dust, the sand. And they go from water hole to water hole. And these people were the worst people for Prophet Muhammad to convert. Because Prophet Muhammad was a messenger sent to tell man to establish himself as a community. Don't go on a boat in the sand. You know, the poet, they draw the imagination, the boat in the sand too. Boat in the sea, boat on the water, boat on the sand. Because they both are the same, they're places for drifters. The water is pushed by the wind, and the sand is pushed by the wind. Sand drifts, and water waves. Right? Yeah, so they're similar. That's why they characterize both just places for drifters. So we are like that. We are nomadic people. We have nomadic habits. We don't want to unite. We don't want to get together and establish a strong community. Say, look, we number so many 100,000 in Los Angeles. Let us try to set up a model group to create some stability here for these numbers. An example for these numbers so that the rest of our people will look to us and see that we are not inferior, that we are not drifters, that we are not dependent any more than any other people. We don't come to that kind of mind. Why? Because we are like the coons and like the Arab. The coons, they like the water. They like spiritual life. The water, that's a different kind of spiritual life than the dust. Dust means your spiritual life has been responsible for you losing your material base. And it just became dust. Water means that you're still floating in your own sensitivities. That you don't know how to establish yourself in the world. Okay? So you got the two, right? You got the two. Now, dear beloved people, we are like that. We are nomadic people, just roaming from here to there. City come in with a plan, we don't raise hell. Say, look, my father was born here. My grandfather was born here. Far as we can go back in my family, we have lived here. Now you're talking about you got some city plan that's going to uproot us? Take it somewhere else. And if you give them enough hell, they'll take it somewhere else. They go to the point of least resistance. And that's usually us. They shift us around and do everything with our area. Put us in the area, let us live there so long, then declare it, deteriorated or something. They have another name for it. Come in with the urban renewal program, and pretty soon they move people in there of a different class, maybe even of a different race. This is what happens to us. Why? Because we are not established in a context. We are floating in our own spirituality. We are floating in the life of our own sensitivities. We live just for a feeling. We are not living for a family. We are not living to establish ourselves as a people. That's our condition. That's our state. That's the picture of Job. Job. The Urban League and other organizations that do research on the condition of blacks, they say that we have the largest percentage of unemployed. They say the unemployment rate among our teenagers, the youth, is really an outrage. That's what their reports are saying. Whites look at us and they identify us as people who are burdened on the government and taxpayers. I'm telling you how we're seen in the eyes of most whites. We're seen as a race that is a burden on government and on the taxpayers. Now, dear beloved people, maybe we don't buy everything these people are saying. Some of us do pretty well. But if we think about it and don't be so sensitive, if we look at the condition of the majority of us, we'll see that we are a people that is dependent on government, welfare, taxpayers. That's our situation. And we are nomadic, just roaming around. Lastly, let me bring you back to that word, Arab. 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 The way the word is a noun. But the way the word is written, it tells us that it is an intensifier. Means that whatever is in that word is carried to extreme. It's intensified. What is the basics of the word? Arab. Arab. Now don't go to Sheikh so-and-so. He doesn't have to know it all. So the basics of the word are the essentials there. Ain, re, be, Arab. Arab. So an Arab is an Arab. Arab. That's the correct way to pronounce Arab. Arab. What is an Arab? He is one with an Arab exaggeration in his life. In other words, he is an African-American. You Muslim, do you believers in God? He didn't say we share one identity. We are Arabs. He said we share one identity. We are Bashar-uns. We are human. We are human mortals. Allah said in the Quran, say to them, and Abasharum Mithlukum, I am a human mortal just like you. That was the identity bond that brought the people together with Prophet Muhammad. Therefore, we find the black with him, Bilal ibn Rabah. We find the Asian with him, the European with him, the Arabs, all of them. We find them with Prophet Muhammad. He sent envoys from the major races into the empires to tell the empires to come from tyranny and oppression and oppressing people to the faith, to the religion of Allah. Yes. Oh, brother. And many of us don't know that the New Testament gives Jesus as a sign of that. Jesus said, I in you, and you in me. What is that commonality? We are both creation of God. And in our true nature, we are identified as God's creature, the human being. Prophet Muhammad brought that message clearly out. And I basharum mithlukum. I am a human mortal, just like you. Praise be to Allah. I love a religion that calls me like that. Now they say, oh, but you can't dismiss the fact that he was an Arab. I don't care what he was. Above that base, that common base. The common base is human identity. If that's how he present himself, then he presented himself in my identity. He said, Ana Basharum. He didn't say Ana Arab. He didn't say Ana Arab. He said Ana Basharum Mithlukum. He said, I am a human mortal just like you. He challenged the intellect of the man to come out of the narrow confines of color consciousness and accept the bond that God created, the human bond, as being more essential, more important, more significant than the color of my skin that got this because of the climatical condition, the sun, etc. How wonderful this religion is. Now, dear beloved people, we can correct our situation. If you have listened to me thoroughly for these 2 hours and almost a half now, if you have listened to me patiently and thoroughly with good attention, you see now that you can correct your own self. You can solve your own problem. You can put your own life in good condition. Not only can you do that, if you will just write down what I told you and do a little study on it, you can become an expert, an excellent teacher to bring other people out of their situation that is in the same Job dust situation that we're in. Oh, yes. Now, you don't appreciate that? I'm not talking to you all. I'm talking to all of the people in our community, the American Muslim Mission, as we call it now. I'm talking to all of you. I'm not talking just this to you people here. No. I represent a community. And this tape recording will go out to the community. I'm talking to all of you. And what I'm saying is this. You don't appreciate that. What kind of person wouldn't appreciate that? You don't like it because I'm telling you that? Why? Would you accept it better if I was a Jew? If I was a Pakistani? Egyptian? Saudi Arabian? What do I have to do? I have to have an operation on myself? Have some straight hair grafted on me? Have my lips slipped and made thin and nose made keen? And get a dye on my face or something? Then will you like it coming from me? What I'm telling you is this. That you don't dislike me, you love me. I'm speaking to the ugly boy who charged me with patting myself on the back in Chicago. I'm speaking to him too. You don't hate me. It's not me that you don't like. It's yourself. You don't think yourself can handle this. You don't think yourself can handle this. You think I'm asking, demanding something of you in terms of the position that you should take that's too much for you. The white world, this lying world, have made you think yourself too small. So anytime you see a person of yourself, like yourself, standing talking big, you want to find some excuse to prove him wrong, some reason to reject him, because it's yourself that's holding you back. But I will never give up. Allah has put the spirit in me. I will never give up. I'm going to stay on you until you get the courage to stand up and appreciate great leaders of your own, just as the Irish and anybody else does. Irish don't have no problem showing you their great leader. Jews don't have no problem showing you their great leader. Other nationalities have no problem standing behind a great leader. How come every time we get a good leader, we have a problem? Because the leader, he has been free. Put the spirit in me, I will never give up. I'm going to stay on you until you get the courage to stand up and appreciate great leaders of your own, just as the Irish and anybody else does. Irish don't have no problem showing you their great leader. Jews don't have no problem showing you their great leader. Other nationalities have no problem standing behind a great leader. How come every time we get a good leader, we have a problem? Because the leader, he has been free, and you are still in slavery. And you're afraid to follow him and accept his leadership because it means breaking out of slavery. And you think if you break out of slavery, you will die. I'm talking about the slavery of that mentality that the world has put you in. So let us come out of that. We almost do. Look at the beautiful verse, chapter in the Quran. It is titled Quraysh. And it begins with the words from Allah, li'ilafi Quraysh. What is ilaf? Ilaf is the bonding. Ilaf is the affection, the bonding of the affection. See, if we have affections for each other, and if those affections won't allow us to take certain liberties against each other, then those affections represent a bonding for us. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. And by the bonding of affection, إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Their bonding, their security bond of affection, is guaranteed for them during travel both through winter and summer. What is this talking about? What is winter? Winter is when things are scarce. Winter come, fall came, winter come, things are scarce. Most of the creatures have stored up something for the winter. So winter comes and it's a time of scarcity. It's a time when people are concerned about their own welfare more than about others. It's a time of getting into your own little close quarters and preserving yourself from the cold. But during that time, according to the Quran, this particular people who had this makeup in them, this social makeup that was filled with social affections that represented a bonding of affection for them, oh, they could manage through the winter. And they could manage through the summer. See, both seasons will try you. When times are hard, you get selfish. You get greedy. You get hard. Like the winter freezes things and make it hard, right? You get hard. You're hard toward the people. You see? Because they're scarcity. See, the picture is this, is that scarcity brings about a coldness, a freezing up, and a hardness of heart. You see? But if you live in a social mode also, you have this bonding of the social affection, it will carry you through the winter. I won't hold back what I have from the people I love in my social community. We sit down at the table and we share with each other. So while others are experiencing a cold winter of hard-heartedness and scarcity, we are sharing what we have. Nobody's starving. Another beautiful thing is that that house, which represents the unity, the continuity of the life that is essential for survival. It was a house that the people visited at a certain season, and they did trading with each other. So it also provided an environment for business activity. And the Quraysh, because of them having that bonds of affection, bonds of family, social affection, they made their money and they shared it with each other. Don't you see the answer for us? And I know I'm holding you a long time. That's what I came here to do today, to hold you a long time. And I told you, that's why in the very beginning I told you, I know some of you can't make it, so if you have to go, we love you still. No bad feelings, we love you. Praise be to Allah. Now, what else does it say? فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, worship the Lord who raised up this house. The Lord of this house. Now, we know Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail, father and son, we know they are the ones that built the house. But upon whose instruction? Allah's instruction. By whose inspiration? Allah inspired it. So who built the house up? Who raised the house up? Allah did it. And he used the instruments of Abraham and Ishmael. Right? So Allah says in the same chapter I'm reciting from you to you now from, he says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Therefore worship the one, the Lord, who build up, raise up this house. الذي أطعمهم من جوع وأمنهم من خوف. The one who have given you a sense of safety from what? Hunger and have made you safe from what? A sense of fear. The condition of fear. Aren't we a people who live with a sense of desperation? Not knowing when we're going to be threatened with welfare, joblessness, or hunger? And aren't we a people who live with fear? Not knowing when the white man is going to become hard-hearted, get cruel, go back to his old ways of yesterday? Don't we live with that fear? Many of you say you don't, but I know too many of you do. So see your picture in the chapter, Quraysh. What will save you then? If your situation is that, what will save you? The same thing that saved the Quraysh. Li'ilafi Quraysh. The social affection, the bonding of affections between us will save us from this state. Then when we see how our own social nature can save us and establish us in the world, politically, financially, educational-wise, in every quarter of the life that is essential, when we see that the social life is the life that provides for that, the home with the four corners, when we see that, then what did we say? Are we going to worship a symbol of the social essence in the form of a man? Or a corpse otherwise? No. Don't worship the temple. Don't worship this house. Don't worship the temple. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. But worship the Lord who raised up the temple. Lord, what a powerful message. What a powerful revelation in one small chapter of the Quran. What a powerful revelation. Expose the mystery behind the mystery of Christ. Exposes the mystery of Christ. And then warn the Christian so subtly through the teachings of the Muslim. Warn them so subtly. You have made a mistake. You have gone astray. You are worshiping the temple instead of worshiping God who raised up the temple. Don't they call Jesus the temple? And didn't God inspire Jesus with the words according to the New Testament? He said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it back up. I'll build it back up in 3 days. That wasn't Jesus speaking. How can I prove it? They say, Jesus, he's the life giver. He is the one who resurrects. No, Allah is the life giver. Allah is the one who resurrects. Oh, but Jesus gave life to the dead, to Lazarus. No, that was Allah who gave life to Lazarus. How do we know that? Jesus say, I do nothing of myself. He say, I can do nothing of myself. So God was using him as the instrument. It wasn't his power. It wasn't him doing it according to his own words in the gospel. He said, I can do nothing of myself. So if the Bible says, I destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. Who is that speaking? That's not Jesus. That's Allah speaking the word of revelation through Jesus. Yes. And they say they destroyed the temple. But we know they didn't. Praise be to Allah. If you are thinking wrong, you won't see. You spent these 3 hours for nothing. You got a punishment today. But if you're thinking right, you have been blessed tremendously today. Praise be to Allah. We have to get our life together. We have to establish every quarter of our life. And you begin that by recognizing the social bonds between you and the members of your family and society. That's how you begin that. You can't establish your life hating each other. You can't establish your life envying each other. If you envy me, you're going to establish that you're going to open a store on my block. I'm not going to trade with you. If you hate each other, you're not going to have the support of each other. If you're jealous of the progress of each other, you're not going to have the support of each other. You need to love each other. Why should you hate each other? What have we done to each other to make us hate each other? Huh? Did we enslave you? Did we deny you social equality in this country? Are we the ones keeping you from getting a job? Are we the ones occupying all the high positions? Are we the ones owning all the resources of the land? So why you hate us? If you should hate anybody, it should be the white man. And you shouldn't even hate him. You should hate yourself for not doing the intelligent thing that he does. And that is look out after his own and establish himself not for just today, but for tomorrow through his children. Yeah, you shouldn't even hate him. You should hate yourself for not coming in, your eyes come open, and for disliking your own people, and for being jealous of your own people, and for staying away from your own people, and for boycotting your own people. You should hate yourself for breaking up your power and not following the intelligence of the white man and other people. Yeah. So tell me, why should we be jealous of each other? What are you jealous of? Jealous of each other. One of us get a new car, we make a whole lot of others hateful, jealous and hateful. One of us open up a business, we get a whole lot of people start knocking us from our own community, our own people. Start saying negative things, talking negative, trying to hurt the possibility for that business. Why are we like that to each other? What have we done to each other to deserve that? The natural sentiment should be, look, we are children from slavery. We are children from the years of Jim Crow and 100 years of Lincoln. We are children from the worst cruelty that has ever been shown to human beings in the history of man. Let us love each other. Let us stand by each other. Let us live with each other. Let us live for each other. Let us die for each other. That would be the natural sentiment in a people. Now, why we don't have that natural sentiment in us, given that past experience under the white man? You know why we don't have it? Because the white man is a master psychologist. The white man has studied psychology. White man has spent billions of dollars in the field of psychiatry to learn how to manipulate your thoughts, manipulate your feelings, to learn how to estrange your feelings from yourself and from others like you. In other words, you are the victim of a high-stage experiment on the psychology of man. And nothing will save you but true sincerity in your heart. If you don't come to true sincerity in your heart, the devil will keep you. Sad state of a people. Oh, believe me, sad. It's very sad. You don't know how many races take us for a joke. They take us for a joke. They don't believe that I am established. They can't believe that I'm holding this leadership. They can understand how the army Elijah Muhammad was holding it. He had a white man to put on us. A man with straight hair for us. From Arabia or Pakistan or somewhere. You can call him black if you want to, but I got a picture in my pocket. I'll show it to you. Tight features. I carry it just for your sake. You think I'm joking? I can't for nobody's sake but yours. I don't need it. You're a good-looking white man, too. If you ain't fasting, I know you're really anxious to go to Burger King or somewhere. And I have nothing to do with that. I got in here somewhere. Just hold on. He's in here somewhere. I guess he doesn't want to be seen. Where are you there? Yeah, he's... Must be over here in these papers. I carry so many papers with me. So much stuff. There he is. Yeah, he really was put away, tucked away good. Now, you can't see that too good from way back there. But anybody you ask them what's the nationality, anybody you ask what's the nationality of that man, nobody will say African-American. Nobody will say African. Nobody will say black. Nobody will say African-American. That's him right there. You can't hardly see it too good, though. Not enough light. That's him right there. I'm one of a very few people that can look him right in his face. See, you have a side profile of him. All right. Now, let us again name these must requirements. Spiritual, in the form of faith in Allah, taqwa, reverence and fear of God. Material, getting your share, nasibaka min ad-dunya, material, social, having the affections between us, the family affections. Family means social. Family affections, social affections. Don't you know a race is more family than our family is stronger between race than it is between race and race? Do you know that? Certainly. Well, after all, what is the race? I have a family. I'm married. I have a family. I have children. My children multiply. Pretty soon, they become a big tribe. Eventually, they can become a race. What is that race? That's my family. So if we want to find near relatives, what will intelligence dictate? If we want to say all of us want to trace our relatives, want to trace our family. If we want to trace our family, should we go to China? No, that's not intelligent. If you want to find your relatives, first look among people like you. For your family. Okay. Am I teaching something honest, Mother? Anybody want to challenge me? Challenge me. You mean well, I mean wrong. I don't care. Challenge me. Allah says in this Quran, family ties have a greater recognition before God. I know some of you are Christian, and I want you to become better people too. Your Bible says charity starts at home and then goes abroad. Didn't say look over your own family and go do for somebody else outside of your family. It says start it in home and then go abroad. What we look like before God, our family ain't established. Our children have nothing. They have no future. And I tell God, well, I did a lot for the Jews. Oh, I donated a lot to Red Cross. I sent money to Africa. God said, well, fool, what made you so hard-hearted to your own family that you stepped over them and went way out there? It's just not intelligent. And it doesn't have to be relative. Say if this floor was dirty, and I have to clean this big floor. What sense does it make for me to go way over there with my bucket when I'm right here? I start right here. Now, if I want to go over there because there's no way out, and I'm going to come back here and go out, that's different. But still, I don't have to do that. I can start cleaning here and go there. And work my way around and come back out here. Right? Why make that trip over there for nothing? I just start cleaning and keep on cleaning until I get over there, then come back and finish the whole room. See, it doesn't make sense for you to step over first thing to get to second thing. Doesn't make sense. And first, as an obligation on you, is your own relative. And if you live in a community, the people of your community have an obligation on you before the people of another community. All right? So, don't tell me. God has shown me through his word in the Quran and through the guidance. God has shown me. Don't tell me. You waste your time. If you don't know, then you should just listen and get your life together. Let us start building up strong families. Let us build up strong homes. Let us have strong sentiments of affection between the members of the family, the household. Let us live as one life in the house. The house doesn't belong to mama. The house belongs to the family. You know, the white man, I'm talking about the dirty white man. There's some as clean as a white sheet that haven't been slept on. I'm talking about the devil, white man. I ain't talking about the good white man. Just the devil, white man. All right, you got that straight? Good. Okay, well, say it just like I told you. He said he wasn't talking about the good white people. He was talking about the devil white people. Okay, well, that's what I'm talking about, the devil white people. They're devilish as they can be. See, they will make your woman an enemy to you and make your man an enemy to the new sister. They do this. They make your man an enemy to you, and brother, they make your woman an enemy to you. See? So they teach the woman to say everything in the house is hers. Hey, where you get off my couch. Get out of my refrigerator. Don't use those dishes. Don't use my pretty dishes. Don't use my new china. Don't cut that cake. I didn't cook it for today. Leave my cake alone. Now, sister, I'm not saying that that's not your domain. That is your domain. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be the boss there. You should be the boss there. What I'm saying is this. Don't let the world make you an enemy to your man and to your family. Don't use the world's language. It's best to say, get out of Allah's refrigerator. And get off of Allah's couch and go sit on the porch. Because after all, Allah made these things possible for us. We shouldn't take the position of absolute owner and make the other family feel that we are living as a burden on mama. Mama gonna put us out as soon as we get grown. This is her house. This is her food. Her refrigerator. This is her curtains. It's her couch. So let's build these social sentiments up strong again. Let's make them natural again in our family. And let us live as one life in the house, and let us love each other and share with each other. And let us understand that the whole house is for all of us. Not for one, it's for all of us. And don't be ashamed to sleep with each other. Don't follow this world's habit. Child, come. Can I sleep with you, Daddy? No. They say that your child's room, the father's room, the mother and father's room, the girl's room. If some of those children have a nightmare or saw something spooky on television, or just feel like they want to sleep near to you, buddy, daddy, please let them sleep to you, because that's going to make that family bond strong. And don't go upstairs when you're grown and go to bed if you got to walk up some stairs and leave your child on the floor sleeping by themselves. Stay on the floor with them or take them up. Carry them upstairs. Don't tell him, if he's young, don't tell him go upstairs and go to bed. Take him up and walk with him. He's tired. He's sleepy. He needs your support at that time. So take him by the arm or around the waist. Or if he's not too big, take him in your arm. Carry him upstairs. This world makes it hard for the family life to get together. If we fight the influence of this world, we can have strong families. The Koreans, now the Haitians, Cubans, and many others, Chinese, they're coming into the country because the workforce of America has deteriorated so bad. The industrialists, they want foreign laborers in this country that still have family loyalty, still have something to work for, won't go out and drink and party and become a burden on the company or on the country. They're looking for workers that have their life intact. They done destroyed us with their wayward, corrupt culture over media and etc. Now, we ain't fit for them, for their needs in industry. So they have to import people who have not come under the bad influences that we have come under and given ourselves to. So we know what's happening. God has blessed us to see. So let us come out of this on our own. We don't need that leadership anymore. Let us come out of this on our own. And let us build up strong families. Strong families. Let us go into business for the family. Not for ourselves. Let's go into business for the family. If you don't have any relatives, let's go into business for the neighborhood. Let's go into business for the block. Let's go into business to improve the financial situation of the people in that surrounding area. That's the way we're going to get up. That's the way we're going to get strong. How come they have the jump on us? They come here in just in a few years, and they got more wealth than we have. How come they get the jump on us like that, coming from Asia and other places? Because they have their life in a context where we don't. Families, strong families. Let us go into business for the family, not for ourselves. Let's go into business for the family. If you don't have any relatives, let's go into business for the neighborhood. Let's go into business for the block. Let's go into business to improve the financial situation of the people in that surrounding area. That's the way we're going to get up. That's the way we're going to get strong. How come they have the jump on us? They come here in just in a few years, and they got more wealth than we have. How come they get the jump on us like that, coming from Asia and other places? Because they have their life in a context where we don't. We are just flowing spirits, living for filling, living for the spirit. That's the answer. If you will follow this, brother, believe me, we will change this situation. The answer is not in us getting an army together, an army of militant men. The answer is not there. We can have an army of militant men, but until you have vision for where your life's supposed to go and how it's supposed to be protected and established, the military men will go to waste. They'll be done out, done away with. They will do themselves in time. Don't think that that will save you. Don't think us getting together say, hey, let's go into big business and let's pool in and save us a couple $1 million and let us order some goods from Mexico or some goods from such and such country at real good price and let us open businesses. We can do that, and if we don't have this life focus and this life established, oh, it will just be some more money given to the white man in America. You see, there's only one way, and that's the way that Allah intended. Let's be natural. Let's be human. Let's live a human life, social life, family life as it should be, and let's live a complete life. And don't accept that the world have politics, and the world have banks, and the world have culture, and the world runs the schools, and the world decides for us what kind of education we should have. Don't accept that. Chinese don't accept that. They go to white man's school, but they have their own vision, their own ideas of how these things are supposed to be. Let us have that, and you can have it, because all that you need is in this Quran. And God has blessed one of us now to have the courage to follow what he sees, even though what he sees is against what the world wants. We don't care. We don't care. I'm sure if the world had the choice of no Chinese or Chinese, white world would say no Chinese. But they can't help it. They got Chinese by the ocean load. Now, if they have the choice of saying no established Muslim black, they will say no established Muslim black. The most of the whites will say no established Muslim black. And a lot of the other people will say the same thing. If they have the choice. But what I'm saying is they didn't have the choice. It was God's will that Chinese multiply. It is God's will that we establish ourselves and multiply. And once we have multiplied and established ourselves, then you won't see that opposition. See, before the thing come into existence, quite naturally, they don't want to share the resources of the world with another people that will be entering the competition. If they can stop you, they'll stop you. But once you have established yourself and they can't stop you, they will accept that. But you got to be prepared to lose as much for this as you have lost for the foolishness that you have lived for behind you. And we have lost sweat and even blood for the foolishness that we have lived for behind us. Don't go and tell a white man that the leader, I think he's getting violent. I think he's getting ready to get an army. He told them to be prepared to lose sweat and blood. Don't go back like a fool and let him see how small you still are. So we're going to get rid of this rigidity in us, this cold rigidity, this iceberg rigidity in us that keeps us apart from each other, won't let us come together and work together as a people in the same situation. Going to get rid of this hardness of heart, this rigor mortis of the social blood and the social body. We're going to get rid of this thing, and Allah is with us. We're going to bring about reconstruction in the areas where we have lost the right construction of life. We're going to bring about an integral wholeness of our life again with the help of Allah. And we want to spend heavily for it. I mean energy, thought, concentration, work, physical effort, everything to establish ourselves in the dignified form that Allah intended for us. Dear beloved people, Allah Most High says in the Quran that your community, ummatukum ummatan wahida, wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. He says, your community is one community. What does that mean? It means your community is a united community. Your community is a consistent community. Can't have somebody hermit spook. His Islam says he's supposed to levitate in space and practice yogi drills all the time. No. And another one saying, we're supposed to leave this country. We have to live among the Muslims. We can't live in America. This is a disbelievers' land. We can't have divisions like that among us. We have to look at the best that is spoken or expressed to us, the best instructions that any of us can give, and follow the best that we have among ourselves. And if anybody can offer better than what I offer, I want you to do that. Anytime anyone have a better idea, a better way for us, I invite you to. And believe me, I'm not going to listen to you condemning you. And as soon as you get up, I don't condemn you before you speak. I'm going to listen to you. And if I see in what you have a better life and a better way for us than what I represent, I would tell my community, we should follow him, or we should follow her, we should follow this person, or at least follow their plan that they have. Theirs is better. I will do that. Give you my word, my life on that. I will do that. So we don't have to fight each other. If you can lead us better, come let me know. I will follow you, and I will tell my community we all should follow you. It's a burden being a leader. You think this is a happy situation? It ain't no easy thing being the leader. If I had the choice of being a regular person or a leader, and it wouldn't hurt the future of this community any, but help it, or at least keep it as good as I... Man, dude, I got a lot of things I'd like to do. If you be true to this kind of job, you got to put this before your family. You got to put this before your own personal life. You have to put this before any better opportunities, materially speaking. I can make more money outside this community. I tell you that right now. I can make much, much more money outside of this community. Out of that situation, I have a way to get myself out. But what I'm telling you, I don't live for that. I live to please Allah. And if you can get another one like that who will live to please Allah and who has a better insight as to how to direct this community than me, buddy, I'm ready to start living some more of the private life. I guess that's why Allah give people like that to me. Give people like me that. Because if I was different, I would mess up. Yeah. So, and you should thank Allah for not giving it to you if you are not like that. You should think about yourself. Say, no, I couldn't do that. I thank Allah for not giving that to me. Don't be jealous. Just thank Allah. Say, I thank Allah he didn't put that on me. Because ain't no way most of you, who I know want leadership, See, most of the good people, they're not hungry for leadership. They just want to see things run right. But most of you who I know are hungry for leadership, if you had command, and believe me, I have command, over thousands of people, you would be taking in thousands of dollars for yourself every week. I know you would be doing that. Because that's what you did before me. So remember our last words. Ummatukum ummatan wahidatan wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. Your community is one community, unified community, and I am your Lord. Means who guided you, who raised you up, who brought you, established you. I am your Lord. Fa'buduni. Therefore worship only me. That's what Allah says in the Quran. And in the chapter I read from Quraysh, Allah says, فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, worship the Lord of this house, one who raised up the house. You see? So, dear Muslims, we know we turn toward the house in prayer, toward Qibla, the house in Mecca, and we point there to the one, to the unity of that, and to the oneness of God. But we know also that Allah is everywhere. He says that he is stationed between a man's heart and his mortal body, or between his conscience and his mortal body. This is what Allah says in the Quran. So we know Allah is right here, in here. Not in essence. I can't grab his essence. If I die and his essence is not affected, if I get sick or tired, his essence is not affected. What it means is just like I have existence out here, don't I have existence out here? I'm seeing out here. I'm talking out here. I influence the environment out here. I'm living out here. Who can live just in his body, his limited physical body? That would be a hell, really. If you had no further existence than your limited physical body. You see? So Allah, though he's here in the heart, near the heart, not in the heart, but says he's between the heart and the mortal body, or between the conscience and the mortal body. To keep the mortal body from polluting the conscience, to keep the conscience from falling or polluting the mortal body. So Allah is existing there, and he comes up in our conscience when the spirit or the will says do something wrong. Right? So he's there protecting us. And we point to the Kaaba. The Kaaba has a black stone in its corner. The black stone represents the heart that have died to the world. It was a shining star in the heavens. And it came down to earth, it died to the world. But in dying to the world and following God's guidance, it was able to become the corner, the main principle in the house or in the community life. And Allah says, and he revealed it upon his heart, the Quran. See how wonderful it is. And wise men in political science, they say is of the future of our government. They say the future of the government is not guaranteed by the wisdom or by the ability of a political leader or a group of political persons. But they say the future is guaranteed by the state of the people in their conscience. This is what wise learned people in political science says. So you see, men of wisdom, they share in the same idea, in the same great insight. And God has given it to us long before those men spoke it. Oh, a great religion, how wonderful it is. God says, in whichever way you turn, there you find the countenance of God. But don't think he's just there. Says, whichever way you turn, there you'll find the countenance of God. Praise be to Allah. So let us remember that. And remember that Kaaba is mainly for our orientation. It's mainly for our orientation, for establishing us as a community of united people. Regardless of race, color, nationality, we are one family, one human moral family under Allah. And we obey the orientation that he created in our being that is implicit In our very natural makeup, we obey that orientation. We don't leave the social basis or the foundation that Allah created for us. Lastly, Allah says, if you fail him, he will raise up another people who will love him and whom he loves. A people who will not be worried about what others think about them. A people who will not fear the criticism of those who practice criticism. You know there are people who practice criticism? They practice criticism to see what effect it'll have on you. See, can they break your conviction by making you feel small? Well, Allah says he'll bring up a people who will love him and whom he loves. People who will not fear the mockery of those who practice mocking people. Oh, how wonderful this is. And Allah says, love God and love his messenger. And Allah says, the messenger should be the most beloved among you. You should love him better than you do your near relatives. You should love the messenger of Allah more than you love your wife, your husband, your sons, your daughters, etc. Why? Not that you shouldn't have that sexual or that emotional or that strong thing that exists between you and your close relatives or between you and your husbands and wives. No, not that you shouldn't have that. But that love is not as strong as the love for Allah's messenger. We love Allah's messenger with the love that we have for the whole humanity. Why? Because it was in that one person that Allah saved the whole humanity. So we give him the love that we have for the whole humanity. For the whole of humanity. I hope you can understand that. We love him not for his sake alone. Allah says in the Quran, say, if you had all the wealth that is in the earth to spend, and if you could spend it, you wouldn't be able to purchase with it the affection, the bond of affection that God has given you between yourself and the followers and the believers. Says no money could buy that kind of affectionate bonding between Prophet Muhammad and his followers. So only Allah could create that. It is not your doing, it's Allah's doing. So what is that telling us? That the believers don't love Prophet Muhammad? For Muhammad, they love Prophet Muhammad for Allah. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad has shown us the way back to Allah. Prophet Muhammad has shown us the way to appreciate and love and obey Allah. And Prophet Muhammad has brought us back to the life that is our life, that is our best life. And it is because of Allah. Prophet Muhammad follows Allah. Prophet Muhammad wouldn't disobey Allah. The world offered Prophet Muhammad everything, women, wealth, and everything. And he said to the world, you can give me the moon in my left hand and the sun in my right hand, and I will not give up preaching this message. So Prophet Muhammad, he proved to us that he is God's servant and that he follows not the world but follows Allah only. Prophet Muhammad has proven to us that he's the most excellent human being. So we love him for what Allah created in him. And we love him for his obedience to Allah, for his love of Allah. We love him for the excellence that is in him and for the attachment that he has to Allah. That's why we love him. Now, think about myself. Why am I associating myself here there? I'm not a prophet, and don't let no hypocrite hint that to you. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a god. I'm not super being. I'm not supernatural. I'm not an angel. I'm common man. My title is imam, minister, whatever you want to call it. All right? That's me. I make mistakes. I hope God forgive me. I got weaknesses. I hope God make me strong. I'm just like you, and I receive no Quran from Allah. No. Jibreel didn't come to me with the Quran. Jibreel came to Prophet Muhammad with the Quran. I studied it, and Allah blessed me with the insight.
And I studied many other things. And I'm still studying. I'm a student. So, we want to correct that right away. Don't give me no fancy title. Don't give me no title other than the one that I tell you. And sometimes I tell you a little too much. Because I want you to come out of your inferiority. So, you know, I may talk about so strong, you know, I have you thinking that I'm a giant of a man. I'm just an ordinary person, but blessed to see inside the guidance of God. You see? And worthy of being your leader. Worthy of your obedience. Allah say, obey the messenger and obey those who are in positions of authority. It means who have been given authority because they have deserved it, earned it, and measure up to it. Once they're in those positions, you should obey them too. So I'm saying obey me. So he wants people to worship him. They stretch everything I say. I could go along with him, but he wants people to worship him. He's talking about obey him. When people obey him, they're supposed to obey Allah. Well, read the Quran for yourself. Obey Allah, obey his messenger, and obey those charged with authority. The bond of love is very important. So remember how we should love Allah and love his messenger and love each other and love the believers. Now, when it comes to me, some people are jealous of the love that some of you all have for me. When they see you love me, they hate you. They hide their hate for you, and they try to work on you to make you change. They even lie to you, telling you that I said such and such thing. Because they don't want to see this love bond between us. You should love me. Why you shouldn't love me? And I love you. I love you, and I work hard for you, and I even risk hurting your feelings and getting your hate so that you will be helped, so that you will be stronger, so that you will go forward. So why shouldn't you love me? You should love me. I love you, and you should love me. And if anybody doesn't want you loving me, something wrong with their mind. You shouldn't love me more than you love the prophets. You shouldn't love me more than you love the whole community. No. If I go against this community, you should stop me. You should love me because of what Allah has blessed me with, and because of my willingness, my spirit, to live this and be true to this. But if I go against the people, you shouldn't love me anymore. You take the people's side against me. But as long as I'm doing what is good for the life of the people, you should love me. And you should love me with the love that you have for all these people. Because the people are depending upon this. Is that not all right? No, we all depend upon Allah. But how is Allah blessing us? How is Allah helping us? Isn't he helping us through me? I know you don't like to hear that kind of talk, but that's the truth. And if you can't hear that kind of talk, that tell me that I need to do this to correct your thinking. We need to burn it out of ourselves. How is Allah helping this community if he's not helping this community through me? That's the plain truth. So you should love me, you should obey me, you should defend me. And you should help me as much as you can in the things that you see me trying to do for Allah's pleasure that will be manifested in the good for this people. Allah doesn't need it. We need it. So praise be to Allah. We make a dua now. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم صلي على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. آمين.